could say amen to that. The scripture tells us that we love him because he first loved us, right? Had he not first loved us, we wouldn't love. In fact, there may have been a time in your life when you heard about Jesus and you wanted to love him. Now, let's just be honest. You wanted to love him, but you didn't know him, right? How can you love something you don't know, right? And if you've never experienced that love, how can you love in return? When you experience that love, well, now you can love in return, right? Amen. How many can say tonight, I've fallen in love with Jesus? Amen. And it's the best thing I ever did. Amen. As our brother said this morning, it's not something that we have to be beaten into. It's something that we're loved into. I'm not going in the rapture because I'm being whipped into it or scared into it. Right? It's a love affair. Blessed be his wonderful name. Thank you for the specials this morning and this evening and just every part that you put into the service. And it's well appreciated, and we know that if it's appreciated here, how much more is it appreciated there? Amen. Blessed be his wonderful name. So without further ado, we don't want to take any more time. We want to invite our brother to come and minister the word again tonight. And we're just excited to once again to have him with us and to have the opportunity to pull on the gift that God has placed in his life. And, you know, as you know, you're the one that operates the gift. And as you also know, we've had many a visiting minister. I don't believe that Brother Daly will fall into that category because I've seen the gift operated when we were together in Nigeria. But we've had ministers come by that didn't know just how much, what kind of a gift they had until you pulled on it and operated it, and they were probably more surprised than you were, right? That's how it is for all of us. I remember the first time that that we ministered and we were invited to, I was looking for a sign from the Lord. I felt confident that I had a call in my life, that the Lord was leading me to preach and to share the gospel. But then I didn't want to do God a service without it being his will, and you know, the anointing would leave you, and then you'd start to have a lot of questions. And so I threw a fleece before the Lord, and the Lord just thoroughly vindicated it, and then we ministered, and it surprised me. It surprised my wife. She says, that wasn't my husband. You know, so, but it's true for all of us. You know, it's not just for ministering gifts. It's whatever God has placed in you. What he's placed in you is for the rest of the body, right? And Brother Branham said the real gift is what? Getting yourself out of the way so that God can use you and the body can use you and draw from you. Amen. So I said I was going to be brief, so I'm going to try and not lie to you. So if you wouldn't mind standing, we're going to invite our brother Daly to come and preach whatever's on his heart. How many appreciated the word this morning? Amen. Amen. I'll tell you, I'm still ruminating, and I will be ruminating, and I trust that you will be too. Amen. Blessed be his wonderful name. So let's sing the Revelation song here tonight as our brother prepares to come. You know, God will use different ones, and they'll just say things a certain way that you're like, oh, I never thought of it that way, you know? And I so appreciate that. So this morning, you know, we know that John represents the bride, and he just slipped one in there on us and said, they all stopped and listened to John. We've read that many, many times, right? We know what the Bible says, but maybe sometimes we don't really let it sink in. John said, everything in heaven, on earth, and under the earth heard me. Right, so we get that part. But maybe I'm the slow student, so you can just say, okay, Brother Baker, you finally got it, and you're caught up with the rest of us. But what struck me this morning is when he said, they all stopped to listen to him. Well, that's what's going on right now, right? Heaven is listening to you as you find your name on the book. And they're listening to you praising. Amen. It's already been seen in the vision. It's already recorded in the Word. I want to play that part. Amen. Don't you? Blessed be His wonderful name.
Lord, hallelujah, holy, holy.
invite our brother to come and share whatever the Lord's put on his heart. We certainly, how many believe that God has what you have need of? Amen. Blessed be his wonderful name. Amen, amen. So let's sing that chorus again. Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything. I will adore you. I will adore you. Yes, Lord. Oh, I adore you. Amen. Give him a hand clap tonight. Blessed be his wonderful name.
Bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you very much again this evening for another opportunity to be back in thy house. We thank you for what you did for us in the morning, our fellowship with you and with one another. And thank you, Lord, for refreshing thy people to come back in the evening. The ravens fed Elijah in the morning and in the evening. Lord Jesus, we pray that you will come by again to bless our waiting hearts. Your children are not gathered unto man. They have not come to hear me, but they have come, Lord, to hear from you. I pray that you will ripple through my vessel of clay to reveal thyself again to thy people. Take us into the depth of your love and into the height of your joy. Let there be a surround of your spirit, that when everything shall be over tonight, our soul will rejoice, and we shall be thankful for everything. If there be souls that are coming on their way, may you guide their path here safely. If there be those in their houses weary and tired, may you renew their strength. May you encourage their hearts. Other places where believers are fellowshipping like we are doing tonight, may your presence that is with us abide with them. Take glory in all the gatherings of your people. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you, saints. It's a privilege to stand before you once again. So I do not keep you standing. Let's read the scriptures so you can take your seat while I will remain standing all through. Amen. If you have your Bibles, please stand with me to the book of Psalms chapter 16. We'll take a verse there, and we shall take a verse from Proverbs chapter 16, and we shall take a few more verses in Isaiah chapter 55. Psalm 16 verse 11 says, 16:11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Amen. Then in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25. Proverbs 16:25. It reads, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And finally, Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55, beginning from the sixth verse, verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Amen. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his holy word. God bless you. You may please be seated. We thank the Lord for his goodness unto us in the morning. And I appreciate you also. You are such a wonderful audience to speak to. Amen. You make the job easy by your responses. And sometimes the more you put into it is the more you are going to get from it. The inspiration or the anointing of a preacher flows better when he has a receiving audience. And so I'm glad for a good audience. Let's put our hands together for God. Thank you. God bless you. I appreciate the pastor once again. Thank you, sir. So tonight, if the Lord will be our help, which I certainly believe he will, I want to speak on God's provided way. It will be like the part two of the morning message. We want to look at the same thoughts in another way. Amen. And I trust that the Lord will help us. I'd like to take this quotation for a background of our study tonight. The prophet had a friend who shared the same name with him. It's called Marion. Is it Marion you call it, or Marion?
Yeah, Marion.
Marion. Amen. All right. So Marion was not... Brother Marion was not always a message believer, but he loves the prophet, and they get along fine. And then most of the time when they sit to talk or fellowship, it's always around the word. And Brother Bram, we be teaching him about repentance, water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Because if you are not baptized correctly, your sins are not actually remitted. Yeah, that is why water baptism is essential to Christian experience. Yeah. Amen. As simple as it may look, it is important for you to do it. Because it brings remission of the past sins and prepare your heart to receive the Holy Spirit. So this was always the thought of the prophet to Brother Marion. But Brother Marion will not hear any of that. Bro Marion believes, like any other Pentecostal denomination, that once you say, I accept the Lord Jesus as my Lord and Savior, that is all you have to do. Right. Now, the prophet said, that is okay, but the problem he has with that is that is not God's provided way. And he said, by the nature of God that he knew, you've got to do things in the way he wanted before you can be accepted. So God will not bring his standard to our level, but for those who are willing, he will raise them. He will raise their level to his standard. This is the way God does his things. And it pays the believer to know this up front so as to have a good walk with the Lord. So the conversation goes like this. Amen. If you don't mind, I will just read this. Maybe this is the only thing I'll be patient to read tonight. All right. He said, and that night while we were laying there, Brother Lee had a dream. You know, anytime they met, they were always talking on the same thing. And the prophet would say, Brother Lee, is Marion Lee, address this matter so you can have a good walk with the Lord. But he will not do it. But you see, I believe that Brother Lee was an elect of God. Yes, because if you are a seed of God, God is under obligation to open your eyes. You can never be bereft of revelation. You must catch it at some point. Don't worry too much if somebody is a seed of God. It's just that knowing if he's a seed of God is the problem. But if he can come to that witness that he is a seed of God, anything and everything he needs for the journey, the Lord will make a way. Amen. As a matter of fact, God has obligation to him. Brother Bram said, God is not obligated to teach King's children revelation. Yes. He said, but to every believer, he must teach us. Isaiah said, all of God's children will be taught by the Lord. Amen. So, Lee, I believe it's a believer. And this is why God dealt with him this way. He said, Brother Lee had a dream. He always debated with me about the water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus. He didn't believe it. And he was a contractor. So he said, Brother Bram, I just dreamed a dream. And he said, I dreamed I went up to New Albany and I was building a man's house and he gave me the blueprint. But when I see a certain way, he cut his windows and fixed a certain place. I said, that is not right. It just can't be right. That's contrary. That isn't right. So I built it the way I thought was right. The man who came to him came prepared. He came with the blueprint of what he wanted done. No matter how odd the drawing looks, that is what he wanted. And that is what must be built. Are you following? So he wasn't coming to rely on Brother Lee's idea. He knew he was a great contractor. But this man knew also what he wanted. So when he came, he contracted Brother Lee, but he gave him the blueprint. He gave him his diagram. I want you to follow the story. Amen? So, but Brother Lee, when he started building, he looked at maybe a certain window, which he felt shouldn't be there. He removed it. A door that he felt wasn't appropriately positioned in the drawing, he removed it. And he did all kind of things that he wanted to do. That was why he said, I built it the way I thought it should be. All right. And when he comes back from Florida from his vacation, I had his house almost ready. Then he looks at the house. But unfortunately for Brother Lee, the man demanded for the blueprint. So he is not going to judge the blueprint by Brother Lee's achievement, but he's going to judge Brother Lee's achievement by the blueprint. Is it getting clear to us, church? He said, he gets and gets the blueprint and looks at that and say, you have built my house wrong. And I said to him, no, I haven't built your house wrong. Then he said, what about this such and such a place? Well, he said, Brother Lee said, that really doesn't belong there. The man said, tear it down. If you expect me to pay you, you will build it the way the blueprint said. And it came out of the dream. Then he said, Brother Bram, what do you think about that? Brother Bram said, there is a creek running right down below the house here. And we went to it. He said, I don't want any tearing down on that day. And I said, Brother Bram said, get it right now. Put it up according to the blueprint. If I may so use this word, God is so stubborn about his own idea. And he will not bend it for any man. Because his idea is the most superior idea. He does not need to consult anybody to learn. He is not even learning. He is not even having a new thought about anything. Every thought he wanted to have, he already had. You love him tonight. So if you want to do anything acceptable, you must come its own provided way. That was the lesson he was passing to Lee. And until Lee did that, he will have had a tearing down at the end of the journey. And I believe nobody wants to have a tearing down. So we've got to come his provided way. Now, for a background, we read from two places in the book of Psalm and in the book of Proverbs. And these two chapters, different chapters, introduce two different ways to us. In Psalm 16, it says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life." So there is a way of life. And in Proverbs 16, coincidentally, they are the same chapter, 16:16. And in Proverbs 16, it said, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man." It's a journey into probability. It's a journey into presumption. You know why? Because you don't know the end of that way from the beginning. So when you go on that way, you are only venturing. You are only adventure. You are only presuming. So, but the one who could see the end from the beginning said, even though it seems all right, yet is a junction that opens to the ways of death. So two ways are presented before us tonight. And by what we studied in the morning, if God allow you the right of choice, the way you are going to choose is the way of Proverbs chapter 16. That is the way of death. And you know why? If you watch the language of the scripture, the Bible never said you will be showed that way. Comparing to Psalm 16, it said, "Thou will show me the path of life." It's not the way you naturally discover by yourself. It's a way that you must be shown. Are you following me? But the way of Proverbs chapter 16, it's a way that is inherent in you. It's a way you take ownership of. You are even defending it that it's so right. You are not waiting to be shown before you take ownership of that way. Here is the reason. That way that leads to death is the way of your natural birth. You don't need to be thought. You don't need to be shown. It is already inherent in you. That was why Cain never needed anybody to show him how to tell lies. He was the one who spoke the first lie. "Where is Abel, thy brother? I don't know." And yet he killed him. Whoever taught him how to kill, I don't know. Nobody has ever killed before a Cain. Whoever taught him how to be envious, I don't know. Whoever taught him how to be angry without cause, I don't know. You know why? Those things were inherent in him. And everybody that is born by natural birth, you have all those things in you. No matter how nice and pure your parents are, born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come to the world speaking lies. Because the formula of that birth is God's, is Satan's way of injecting his nature to mankind. That is why the Bible says we are by nature a child of where? A child of destruction. And unfortunately, or by God's program, that is the first nature that takes over our life when we are born. Are you with me, church? That is why for the little ones, the first instinct when they are caught doing something wrong is denial. Then you begin to encourage them not to deny. You say, "Junior, just own up to it. If you took it, that is fine. We can talk about it." Then he began to have confidence and learn to own up to his wrong. Is that right? But who taught him to deny as a first instinct? It doesn't need to be thought. It doesn't need to be shown. It is already inherent. That is when the message Thinking Man's Filter, Brother Bram said, we were all born without a fighting chance. We came head down, already defeated. So our tendency is the way of Proverbs chapter 16. And that is not for young people alone, for adults, for me, for pastor, for everyone. And that is why our Lord said we need to be born again. Are you with me, brethren? So this is the way we learn. This is the way that was inherent. But you see, if we are children of God, there is another life laying dormant. The prophet called it the seed germ. He even used the word soul to call it sometimes, and all kind of descriptions. But you see, it is not the first life that becomes active. He lays there dormant, waiting for its appointed time. That is the seed of God. That the scripture said, he that is born of God does not commit sin. He cannot, because that is God in you. And in the message, Invisible Union, the prophet said, that is actually your real you. So this nature that takes over your heart, that looks like your soul because it's passing the wrong nature to your spirit, is not you. It's a nature imposed on you by your natural birth. So it is not your real identity. Amen. So it carries your body to do mean things and evil. It's only doing identity theft. That is the truth. I'm saying that by the message. Because if you don't get it like this, true justification the prophet talked about will never make sense. Brother Bram said, when a man is converted, you don't say, I forgive him. He said, what do you forgive him for? Because he said, to begin with, he never did it. How many has ever read that before? And some would think that that is a lie. It's the truest truth that can ever be. The one who acted in you was the nature imposed upon you. It was regarded as a soul because it put nature upon your spirit. Your spirit is actually a neutral force. It takes energy from whoever you are in the inside of the inside. And that is why before the Holy Ghost can come, the fire of God must come to do some cleansing and put your spirit in order for holiness. Because it's been used to a bad master. Amen. Now a new householder is coming inside. This householder is different from the other one. And he's going to teach him. He's going to make him do things that were contrary to the mean, wicked householder. So the prophet said he needs a cleansing. He needs a reorientation in order to be submissive to the new master. This new master is a seed gem quickened by the Holy Spirit. That is the one Apostle Paul was referring to in the scripture when he said, my children, in whom I travail until Christ be formed in you. Are you getting it? The formation of Christ is the life of God striking the seed and bringing you to the realization of who you are. And from that moment, sinful life becomes a thing of the past. Because it changes your appetite. It changes your nature. It changes your desires. So who was that guy living wrong? Somebody will point that it is you. You know why? Because it is your body they saw. Amen. But this body cannot act without an energy. The energy is the spirit. The spirit cannot inspire without a power behind it, without a nature. So the nature that inspired your spirit to do meanness, to do all those evil, wasn't you. That is why the prophet said, it is as though you never did it. And you actually never did it. That is the meaning of true justification. The one who did it borrow your identity. That is why that guy must die. That guy will go to hell. That guy will be destroyed. But you are saved. Because that seed was actually to be you. Until that is quickened, this devil is using a borrowed vessel. You love him tonight. So while the force of that nature is working, every evil seems so right to you. And this was the way you chose. But when you become converted, you will start learning this way. This is why in the scripture it is said, thou will show me the path of life. You've got to be shown. It's not something you would discover by yourself. And this is why you've come to the house of the Lord tonight. That eunuch of Ethiopia said, how will I understand if nobody shows me? Amen. And God had to send Philip to go and show him. What was he doing? Showing him the path of life. Are you catching it? So one path is the way of God. The other one is the way of the devil, which the prophet also called your way, your old way. Now, these are the two ways we can walk in. But you see, the danger of walking in these two ways is that it is not possible for you to walk in the two ways at the same time. Your legs are not long enough, even if you're a 10-footer. So say, I'll place one here, and I'll place one here, and I'll be enjoying the two sides. It's not possible. To walk in one is to forsake the other. To forsake this is to walk in this one. And that is why Isaiah said, it was showing us the mind of God. God said, your ways are not my ways. And he said, if you choose to walk in your own way, you are a wicked man. Because your ways tended to death. It tended to evil. Amen. For you to walk in his ways, he said, you must be willing to forsake your way and come his own way. He said, as the heaven is so high above the earth, so are these two ways apart. And there is no time they will ever meet. They are parallel lines that will never have a meeting point. So for you to walk in his ways, you must be ready to deny yourself. You must be ready to put flesh under subjection. This flesh you carry cannot be redeemed. Amen. To live a Christian life is a struggle for the flesh. But if the real householder take over your soul, it puts the body under subjection. This is the best it can enjoy now until the fullness of adoption. The fullness of adoption is the change of that body. That's what the word says. You love him tonight. So while you are here, if you don't want to run into accidents, you've got to be willing to forsake your way and go his provided way. Now, the blessing of going God's provided way is that you will make God to become obligated to you. If you can take care of yourself, if you can undo your personal security, if you can fight your battles, if you can meet your needs, if you can deal with the enemy, you don't need God's way. How many can handle that by himself? Nobody here. It shows you on the other side. But if you cannot undo those things, then you need to walk in his own way. Because God will only be personally obligated to you in his own way. I hope I'm making it easy again for you. To surrender, because surrender you must. He said, if you who are wicked as mortals know how to give good things unto your own children, say, how much more him? I think that's a challenge. God said, challenge me. It's a, I will never withhold anything good from you. And this is why in every aspect of our lives, God showed us his mind. It is to walk in his own way. Let me give you something from the scripture. There was a time, you know, the prophet preached the message trying to do God a service without his will. And if you were in the spirit, the crux of that message is to show to you that even if you feel strongly to do anything, you must do it in God's provided way to get his blessings. We don't go in the power of our resources to do anything for the Lord. Amen. We don't go in the strength of our scholarship. We go by the will of God. There are things we would have ability to do, but if God does not want it done, or he has a timing in which it wanted it to be done, Until we come to that, we will not succeed. And the prophet said, the test of conversion is for a man to be able to accept God's provided way for anything. When you look at David, he was going to bring the ark of God's covenant back to his place. It's a beautiful thought for a man to say, I'm living in the house of cedar. I'm living in this and that in opulence. And yet the ark of God remains under curtain. It's in an inappropriate place. It's a good thought, which God respected, which God appreciated. But David, in being ready to bring the ark, as noble as that step is, he must still do it God's provided way to get his attention. God will never accept, neither will he respect anything that does not come by his own order. So the right thing for David to have done is to have consulted the prophet.
That's right.
Or the clergy. We want to bring the ark of God back. How do we do it? But you see, he went the way his mind runs. He was a king, so he was talking to generals. And they decided for him to bring this ark. It's a very simple thing. We don't want these old ideas. We want to do something new. We are going to get Air Force One. what's that car the President of the United States drives? What's the name of, what do you call the car? There's a name they call it. Is it Beast or something? Yeah. We're going to get that. They got a nice limousine. A new cart. Now, using new carts, I want you to watch this very well. Using a cart as a precedence in the scripture. It has a precedence. But you see, the bride must know the word that pertains to them. The bride must know that they live under a different covenant from the rest of the world. What God may permit to allow for others is not going to allow for you. And that was what made us a peculiar people.
Amen.
A holy priesthood. A royal priesthood, a holy nation. There are things the world will do, they will get by, but you ain't going to get by if you try to do it. Because you live under a different covenant. The only people who has a covenant of rapture today is the bride of Jesus Christ. Others who are not in the bride will not be in the rapture. They will come up in the second and general resurrection. We must begin to take it from there. So I'm saying from the scripture, putting the ark on a cart at precedence. When the Philistines fought Israel and they captured the ark, do you remember? And put it in the hall of Dagon, their own prophet or their own god. It looks as if the ark was weak. But every day the ark began to fight for himself. Because that ark is actually a person. It's a representation of the Lord Jesus Christ. You might say it's an ordinary wood. Some people tried to open it and look what was inside. They perished. That is God's alert presence before his people. So the Philistines came to their God the next day. They met the God lying prostrate before the ark. Is this a coincidence? It's not a coincidence. The devil will trick their mind. They kept their God help. What to a God that you have to help? It is my God that is helping me. It is God that is carrying me. I'm not the one carrying my God. So they carried their God and put their God back in his place. Then the next day, the ark dealt with their God again. This time around, he broke all his arms and his legs and threw him scattered. Then they said, we have a problem now. We have a real problem. And so let us check if this ark is the one troubling us. Because now it has left their God to the entire nation. So by the time they checked, they consulted their own prophets and diviners. Now watch. When their diviners was to give them a message from their own presence, they said, it is the ark that is your problem.
Yeah.
Now, you must atone for carrying the ark at all. Make 5 golden mices according to the tribes and the lots of the Philistines. And put this ark on a brand new cart that nobody had ever used before. And you don't do anything. Don't lead the ark. The ark will direct the horses, the donkeys, by himself. If it goes this way, it's your problem. If it goes this way, then it's not your problem. And brethren, they put the ark on a new cart, and the ark never fell. And the ark actually directed the asses to go a particular way to prove that it was their problem. Friends, the ark went and arrived in Israel safely without any assistance. So David, in trying to bring his own revival, wanted to go Pentecostal. He had forgotten that there is a message of the hour that he must use. There's a message peculiar to Israel. So you don't do things like the Philistines and expect divine results. So this was his orientation. This was his motivation to also put the ark in a better cart. So it become a competition of carts. But this time around, when the ark was coming, even though it was being supported this time, it got to the threshing floor and it was going to fall. And somebody tried to support the ark. And the Bible said God made a breach upon him. He killed the fellow right there. So that revival became a funeral. And became a thing of sorrow in Israel. The breach lasted for many years. That the ark couldn't get back to Israel again. Why? Because David did not go about it God's provided way. After many years, when they repented, in 1 Chronicles chapter 15, David now went to the Levites instead of the generals. He went to the priests. He went to the ministers. He said, it is your duty to carry the ark. It must not be put on the cart, but on the shoulders of the Levites. No matter how hard, how old that divine order is, that is God's provided way. And that was the only way the ark returned to Israel. So God is not going to be carried away by any emotion. The emotion that moves God is when he sees his word being obeyed. We have 3 exoduses. The first was when God was taking a nation out of a nation, Israel out of Egypt. The second was when God was taking the church out of religion. And the last one is going on how the bride is being taken out of the church. Are you following? And Brother Bram said, if you understand, if you can understand what happened in the first Exodus, it will give you an impression of what is happening in yours. Because the last day will always vindicate the first day. The first Exodus, we can call it the Exodus of planting. And the last Exodus is the Exodus of harvest. So whatever you see in the first Exodus must come in full in this last one. If you saw one Korah in the first Exodus, expect many Korahs. You know why? Whatever, if you plant one seed in the planting season, in the harvest season, you are not going to reap one seed. They said, if you plant one seed of maize or corn, you are going to get at least one cob of corn. And on a cob, it is said that a cob averages about 612 seeds. So from one seed, you get 612 seeds in harvest. So if the plant brings forth 2 cobs, you are going to get like 1,224 seed from one. So everything that took place in the planting will come back in multiple in the harvest. Are you with me, church? Now, when God was ready to take his people out of Israel, out of Egypt, he gave them a charge. If you can put for me Exodus chapter 23, verse 20. He gave them a charge. Behold, I sent an angel before thee to do what? To keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Hold it, we're still reading. In other words, the path of life where God will be obligated to you must be shown. You can't discover it by yourself. And until you walk that path, you are not safe. We've all agreed together that there are many things we can't take care of by ourselves. So we want God to be obligated to us. If we want God to be responsible for our lives, then we've got to follow his provided way. Do you know why the angel had to be sent? Because there are many ways that led from Egypt into Canaan. It's in your Bible. The Bible said there is even the highway of the Philistines, which is shorter. It's the shortest that led into. If they pass through that way, let's say they're going to spend 40 days, for instance, in other ways, that they may end up 26 days and they will arrive. But for the fact that they have several ways that could lead to Canaan, does not mean they have several options. You must get this. It does not mean you have a variety of options. Because among these several routes, there will be only one way that God will take interest in. And this one way that God will take interest in must be shown to you. This is the reason God sent his angel. If you watch the scripture, this wasn't an ordinary angel. It was a capital A angel. So he was referring to the pillar of fire, which was God himself in the Logos form. Because when the pillar of fire appeared to Paul, he said, "Who art thou?" He said, "I am Jesus Christ, whom thou persecutest." So the one who came in flesh, the one who appeared to Abraham, amen, and ate in his house, that same familiar one, is the one that came in the Logos form called the pillar of fire. To lead the people of God in God's chosen path. Amen. So walking with God is not a loose affair. Walking with God is not an affair that every opinion counts. We live in the kingdom, brethren. We are not in a democratic republic. God give the church a certain democracy. But all of us, we live in the kingdom. Amen. Or do you ever hear the Democratic Republic of Heaven? We are always talking about the kingdom of what? God. The kingdom of God. How many appreciate that? Is that what we say? Do you realize in the kingdom, it is only the words of one person that stands? And that is the word of the king. In the kingdom, there are no citizens. What you have is subjects. The citizens are called subjects because one man speaks and the rest of us say amen. Amen. But you don't need to be afraid. This king is not a tyrant. He's not a dictator. He knows the right thing to do. But you see, this must be stressed so you know how to relate in the kingdom and enjoy your blessings. Amen. Give us the next verse, brother. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not. He's not a leader that you argue with. He's not even a leader you make suggestions for. And you expect him to accept. Come on, brothers. Am I making it too tough for you? But this is the God we serve. It's better you understand his nature. He's the one talking here. Beware of him and obey his voice. It doesn't leave you with any other option than obedience. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions. For my name is in him. Amen. Continue, brother. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice, now it's going to do, it's going to show you how it's going to take up your responsibility and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies. So you wouldn't need to fight any battle. You wouldn't need to lose your peace for once. He will take care of it. And an adversary unto thine adversaries. Are we together?
Amen.
All right. So there must be a path the angel will take them to. Among all the ways that are available. Now, but there's a problem here. The pillar of fire is not usually visible to everybody. And yet, we must follow his leadership if we want to end up right. So what are we going to do? God said, don't worry. I know it is not all of you that can see me in that form. I will humanize my leadership. And that was what brought Moses into the picture. And this is what has brought William Branham into the picture. He is to humanize for us the leadership of the pillar of fire. He's not going to teach us his theories. He's not going to teach us his ideas. He's not going to teach us his opinions. He's going to give us, thus saith the Lord. Just as Apostle Paul did, that which I received from the Lord, the same I delivered. Meaning what Paul gave the church was pure. Amen. As it came from God, he sent it to the people without interfering with it. Amen. There was somebody in these last days who said, I was not the one that appeared at Ohio River, but I was the one nearest when he appeared. Whoever that fellow is, let's watch out for him. I was not the one that appeared. Amen. The pillar of fire appeared. I was not a pillar of fire, but I was the person near when he appeared. Amen. A man, his word will fail. And he said, you are not feeding on me, but you are feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. So these men also testified that what you got is not my idea. As a matter of fact, he said, when the seals were opened, is that okay, sir?
Yes, please.
All right. When the seals were opened, he said, my Bible became a new book. He said, things came better than my own personal judgment. So even he himself had to do a lot of adjustment. If the prophet had to adjust, you have no reason not to adjust. If you want to make it. So there must be somebody between us and the pillar of fire. So this man is trained and programmed to see the pillar of fire. So as we look up to him, he looks up to the pillar of fire. This is the only way you will never come up lost. You must understand this divine arrangement. So as to take away any question out of your heart about God's leadership for today. Are you following? If anybody, that is why in the first Exodus, if anybody disobey or doubt the words of Moses, before two or three witnesses, it perishes. That's what the scripture said. Because, and for you to follow Moses, you must not take those words as the words of Moses. If you take it as the words of Moses, you will rebel against it. Because sometimes you could feel you understand better that this judgment is poor. This assertion is not sufficient. But if you realize that Moses had no word of his own, that which he was given is what he is delivering. No matter how hard. I'm underlining it for you, church. No matter how hard. This is why a lot of believers are surface believers. And it becomes so easy when there's a little upset for them to be overthrown. If you were overthrown, you were never meant for it. Yes. Because you got to understand the working of God. God has never changed his pattern. In the message, Christ is the mystery of God revealed. He said all God wanted to do, he has been showing through types and shadows. Right from Genesis. You love him?
Yeah.
So, Moses will see the pillar of fire. The people will look at Moses. The most sensitive man to the move of the Spirit in any gathering was William Branham.
Yes, sir.
And that is why I could tell you when the angel of the Lord comes. He will say, he is here now. I put every spirit under my control. And some people will come close in the prayer line. And he will be asking, do you feel such a sweet, relieving feeling? They will say, yes, yes. He said, you see, that angel, that pillar of fire I talk about is just 2 feet away from you. That is why you are feeling that way. You didn't see it, but he saw him. It's the same thing. Oh, my. I pray you get distance, friends. So, the pillar of fire is the angel that was sent before them. Now watch. The reason we are saying this is to make it easy for you not to challenge his provided way. As the angel of the Lord began to lead, the Bible said he led the first Exodus church by way of the Red Sea. Now, when you see a language like that, it's to show that there are other ways, but he chose this way. So those other ways were not an option. No matter what happens along this way, God will never change his mind. Because when God draws up a plan, he does not have an alternative plan. God doesn't have plan B. Plan B is good for human beings. You know why? You are not the master of every circumstance. But the one who has all the circumstances in his care. The one whom nobody can resist his will, not even Satan, does not organize a plan B. If he has a plan B, he will not be better than you and I. Plan B is, if this doesn't work, then I fall back on this. God doesn't fall back on anything else. So the Bible said, he led them by way of the Red Sea. That was his own provided way. The Red Sea. Now, anybody knows that there is no way by way of the Red Sea. You see, when you read the scriptures in retrospect, if you are not careful, you won't appreciate some things. What if you were there that day, and the pillar of fire that you are not seeing is guiding towards the way of Red Sea. And Moses was telling you, he said, now this is the way the pillar of fire is moving, let's follow. Because when you see people like Dathan, Korah, and Abiram, unbelief is not easy to build. The revelation you are having is what they lacked. And that was why they became a liability to that journey. Dathan, Korah, and Abiram couldn't put it together. Why you will say God is leading and God will be so blind or so unknowing as not to decipher that this road will lead to nowhere. But no matter how hard God's leadership is, you are called and invited to obey. The rule of engagement is that don't provoke him. Beware of him. Don't argue with him. Obey whatever he says. Church, can we come unto that obedience tonight? Can we look at the word and say, Lord, not my will. Let it always be yours. You are wiser than me. Look, a capstone revelation each of us must have is that God cannot be wrong. There are many things we will not understand. But what we will understand is that he cannot be wrong. When he said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, or you have no life, it wasn't everybody. In fact, none of the disciples understood. Not even Peter. So the people, the ones who fell away, who went back, what they lacked was not the revelation of that. But what they lacked was the revelation of who spoke. Are you catching it? If you have the revelation of who spoke, whatever he says will not disturb you. And it was this revelation, Peter stood to respond. He said, unto whom shall we go? Knowing that you are the one who has the words of eternal life. Did they understand what he said? No. But they knew that whatever he says is life. He cannot be wrong. Martha and Mary had to settle that in their heart. Church, God will sometimes put you to a spot that to defend God will be a problem. He will do things that will make his own defense by you impossible or a great labor. How do you explain this? He was living with Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, according to the history. They made him the cloth, that coat of many colors or whatever it is that the soldiers were parting among themselves. That's what the prophet said. They fed him, they clothed him, they housed him. What more could they do to the message and the messenger for their day? They loved him so well. But here was the man for whom they abandoned their denominations and came to walk in the so-called light of the hour. Here was that same pastor abandoning these sisters and their brother in their great hour of need. Come on, church. When Apostle Paul said, we are persuaded that nothing present or future will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. It's a revelation. It's a victory. This is why your testimony is weak. When you say, because of what this brother did, this, I'm not following the message again. You were never in the message. You can quote me anytime. Brother Abraham said, many will come within the range of the message. But only few will have a special hearing ability that puts them in the message. The range of the message is not the message. You are just loitering around the fence. You are not yet inside the compound. Until you get in, you are not actually a believer. And what brings you in? It's revelation. That's the meaning of special hearing ability. So, what do you speak of those two sisters? The more they called for pastor, the farther he was going. He was in Phoenix when Lazarus became sick. By the time they asked of him again, he was in Flagstaff. The next time he was in Maryland. The next time he's already in Africa. Maybe fellowshipping with us in Nigeria. And yet, having a very sick church member, vulnerable church member at home, he wouldn't even look back. Brother Abraham said, it gave opportunity to the denomination they left to show malicious care. It wasn't a holy care, holy support. It's a support to deride and to vindicate themselves as being right and this one's being wrong. And you call yourself a believer and get carried away by that? Come on. They did all they could and they were waging war against the emotion of the two sisters, against their pastor. And if they ask for a defense, what do you expect Sister Martha and Sister Mary to say? The pastor is so nice to have abandoned them. Is that what they're going to say? Oh my. Jesus, the pastor, made it very tough for his congregation to defend him. The sicker Lazarus gets, the farther he went. But do you know this was the will of God? Do you know we are dealing with the one who said, I do nothing except what the Father shows me? Do you know that act of his was deliberate? Now, we are reading in retrospect. If you were there that day, what would you have taken as a position? You can't explain. You don't even know what... Many of us, we don't even understand pastor again. In the hour of a critical need, and the old priest in the denomination will have preached a message entitled, Woe to Preachers That Abandon. And he will preach it so hard. All these latter-day preachers, we told them before they left the temple, we told them that this guy you want to follow is a fake. Now he has proven it to them. Where is he now? We are the one responsible paying the hospital bills, doing this and that, like we did for their parents. Look at these guys. You are jokers. And Mary and Martha couldn't talk because everything looked so correct. But there was nothing true in it. Oh my, it was so bad for this pastor that this church member died. He couldn't even attend the funeral. Not to talk of preaching or officiating the funeral. What a pastor he was. Then when they broke the news to him, he didn't feel bad. He said, Lazarus sleep. The disciples said, let's go wake him. He said, you guys don't understand heavenly language. Anyway, believers don't die, they sleep. But for you to understand, I mean, Lazarus died. Oh, let's go and die with him. You know what Jesus said? He said, I am glad that for your sake I was not there. Brother Bram said, because if he had been there, they would have constrained him to heal him or to raise him. And that would have taken him out of the will of the Father. So he said, I am glad for your sake I wasn't there. And to the critics, if he was there and he healed the guy, they would say, no, he wasn't actually sick. The popularity of Jesus was going down. So they made this came in order to show up his popularity. The man only fainted, he didn't die. He pretended so that they can say his pastor is a healer. So whether for the critic or for being out of the will of God, God took care of it. He said, but as I'm speaking now, let's go wake him up. Until they came, Martha and Mary had no answer for what the Lord did. But do you know the capstone revelation they had? No matter what happened, pastor cannot be wrong. Amen. Jesus cannot be wrong. And that was why, even though the emotions have been battered seriously, when he came back, Martha could still give that most wonderful compliment about the power of Christ's presence. He said, Master, if you have been here, my brother would not have died. Jesus couldn't say any other thing than to say, Martha, your brother will rise again. I like that compliment. So with all you're getting, get this revelation that the Lord cannot be wrong. The message cannot be wrong. I'm a believer. And the fact that the message cannot be wrong. Because the prophet told us, somebody will have the power of infallibility in these last days. If the first and the second pool were infallible, the power that makes them infallible came into the third pool to give us an infallible revelation of the word. Are you listening to me? The person of the prophet is not infallible. But the revelation the messenger brought is perfectly infallible. It is error-free. It is the poverty of your understanding that seeks mistakes and errors in the message. I make it clear to you tonight, it is error-free. Because if it's got error in it, it will lose the capacity to lead us. It's a good healing for your homes. It's a good healing for your church. It's a good healing for your life. It is the balm of Gilead in these last days. Apply it and be saved. You want God to be personally obligated to you? Follow the message. Because the message came from the pillar of fire. Brother Bram said, for 33 years, I veiled the pillar of fire, interpreting the word to you. Moses was the veil for the pillar of fire. This is the reason for you to follow the pillar of fire. You have to follow Moses. So this man, this angel they were following, was leading towards the Red Sea. And everybody's expected to follow dumbly. Don't forget that Moses had gone out of Israel, out of Egypt before. He never had to confront the Red Sea. And he got to where Jethro was. If you ever travel to Israel, there are roads to Egypt just by the edges of the Red Sea that you don't need to cross the Red Sea, and yet you will get to Israel. But God said, the road I want to pass is the Red Sea. Isn't that very odd? Extremely odd. But you see, these are the things that will test your followership. Are you catching it, church? So, Moses, who had the tendency to jump ahead of God, couldn't do that. You know why? He had met the burning bush before this experience. Brother Bram said 5 minutes before the burning bush has changed everything for this man. So he has learned to lean. He has learned to say amen. No matter how hard the thing sounds to him. No matter how illogical. No matter how unreasonable. And they were going. And they got to the Red Sea. And there was nowhere. Dathan, Korah, and Abiram must have said, okay, we are expecting the contractors to build bridge over here, because if they tell us we are following the pillar of fire, we don't see the pillar of fire. We are not even sure Moses is seeing anything. It will be a poor leader that will leave beautiful highways and tell us to come and pass through Red Sea. Now we are there, dead end. But you see, the real believers don't mind those noisemakers. But truly, they were at a dead end. No more movement. While they were still waiting for the next step, all of a sudden they saw dust gathering. By the time the dust was settling, it was Pharaoh and his army. So Red Sea in front, Egyptian army behind, valleys here and mountains here. So God's leadership led his people to a dead, close end. Are you catching it? Amen. Now, you must have grace in your heart. It is not every problem people are in that is caused by their sin. Because sometimes we become so critical until we lose the habit of grace. And when you don't have this, you can't even pray for somebody correctly. The instinct of everybody is when you find things not going well with that brother, with that sister, he's done something wrong. She's done something wrong. It is not always the case. Look at the man who was born without eyes. Instead of the disciples asking Jesus, how about this? Their first question is, who sinned? Because in their opinion, nobody could be like this if there is no problem. But you see, lessons are much in the word to show to us that it is not only problems that could bring us to a dead end, to a close up, to a suffocating experience. God sometimes leads his people that way. In this case, they were following the pillar of fire. And they came to a close up where there is nowhere to turn. You know what the prophet said? The prophet said, while these Exodus people were in Egypt, they have enjoyed the power of redemption by blood. God wanted to give them an opportunity to enjoy it by power. Because if God could save their soul, he can also heal their bodies. Redemption blessing is in two parts. It gives you salvation and it gives you healing. God wanted to solve the enemy's problem permanently. And that was why he led them that way. Are you following? Satan's army, Egyptian army, was coming to terminate the life of Exodus people prematurely. But do you know the word says, there can never be a premature death to God's believing children. It's not possible. When you say gone too soon, do you know the time you should have gone? See, people write people's obituary and they will say, oh, this man went too soon. Did God tell you when he should have gone for you to determine whether it was too soon or too late? He has appointed each man's boundary that they cannot pass. But here is a caveat. Here is an exception. The prophet said there can never be a premature death to God's believing children. But he said that God's believing child can walk himself into it. Ah. When you live wrong and you will not be corrected, and you choose to be defiant, until you bring yourself under the discipline of the church that removes you from under the blood, and you will not be persuaded to come back, the prophet said, God has one more option. It will take your life. So you don't become a liability to his kingdom. But outside of that, nothing will take you before your time. But you see, this is where I'm going. Because they have gone God's provided way, God must take responsibility. He must show a sense of obligation to those people. And that was why he told Moses, take charge in front. I will take charge at the back. Then the pillar of fire stood between Egyptian army and the Israel of God. And the Egyptian army, when they saw the light, they couldn't advance. And while they were staying there, God was doing a calculation. We are going to wind down on that calculation. I need people who are good in physics. No, I'm not trying to embarrass you. I just need you to help us with a calculation. If you can. If you cannot, it's fine. Christians are honest people. Ah, you see, you are good in physics. You know how I know? You've been pointed. So, he is good in physics. Who else is good in physics? Pastor himself. Ah, wonderful. This is going to be an easy job now. So now, we have 2 million people who are waiting to cross the Red Sea because that's God's program. Are we together? Now, our physicists must do a calculation for us of the time, the speed, the distance. They said there's something called velocity also. You can add all the parameters. Of what it will take 2 million people without a regular pace. Their pace, there's no constant pace. So you see this, your calculation must be very dynamic. Because there's no regular pace, there's no constant factor. Because Moses told Pharaoh, we are not going to leave anybody behind. And among this crowd, some are weak. Some are feeble. Even some felt they would not make it. So some are there, we're going to drag them along. Some we're going to back. Whatever we will do, even to the hooves of our camel, we are not going to leave it. Anything that could trace our memory back that way. Because we want our reproach to be completely rolled away. So all kinds of people were there waiting to cross the Red Sea. Now here is it. You are going to calculate the time and all the indices that it will take these 2 million people to cross the Red Sea such that by the time the last man is coming out of the Red Sea, the Egyptian army who were riding on chariots will have gotten to the middle of the Red Sea for their water baptism. Can you help us, sir? Hey, pastor, say no. Sir. Oh, my goodness. So God is a better physicist. Because while God was keeping Egyptian army hanging, this was the calculation he was doing. And when he finished his calculation, he told Moses, open up the place. Tell the people to march forward. And the sea opened. Amen. And they began to march. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram had to keep quiet. Eh, we never saw it like this. We never knew that this was what God was planning. They will never know. And instead of keeping quiet, they were making noise. The ways of God are past finding, brethren. God opened the sea, and they were walking on dry land. And God kept these guys waiting. And when he realized, because friends, Egyptian army and Israel met themselves in the water. Are you catching it? So God was working on it when he realized that by the time this last fellow, the most feeble one, will be coming out of the water, the entire Egyptian army will be in the middle of the water for their baptism unto death. God released them. He said, Pharaoh, come on, boys. Come on with your boys. And they started running. The Bible said Egyptian army by Pharaoh, they were trying to frustrate God's calculation by running faster than the program. And God said, no, you can't frustrate my calculation. I calculated for you 30 miles per hour. Your chariots are beginning to do 50 miles. I am the one in charge here. You know what God did? The Bible said it troubled the wheels. Where was Satan? What was he looking when God was doing all these things? He should have at least challenged it. But we're talking of the one, the master of all circumstances here. He regulated the speed. He put a speed master there. That no matter how hard they press the throttle, 30 miles per hour. By anxiety, you cannot add one cubit to your life. Throw worries away. Just live a simple Christian life. Submit yourself to God. And they were coming at God's determined regulated speed. And by the time the last man was coming out, Sister Miriam and them picked tambourines and they were ready to start fellowshipping, jumping. God said, excuse me. Moses, close what you opened. Because if you get carried away and you don't close it, these guys will meet you here. Come on, close it. And Moses said, you see, brethren, you see what I told you? These Egyptians, I told you that you saw today, after now you will see them no more. And the water closing on them. And that was the permanent solution to the enemy's problem. He became enemy to their enemies, adversary to the adversaries, because they follow his what? Provided. God took personal responsibility for their safety, for their well-being. He gave them water in the wilderness. He gave them food. He protected them. Their shoes never grew tread, never wear out. Their clothes never grew threadbare because they were following God's direction. If you follow his provided way, same thing for you, brother. Same thing for you, sister. I close with this. How do we get his way? We need a star. Amen. We need a star to lead us to the birthplace of the word, where the full word of God has been born into manifestation. When the word became flesh in the beginning in a body called Jesus, it was a star that guided the path of the shepherds. Church, these shepherds were called wise because they could recognize the star that led to the birthplace of the word. It takes the word for the hour to make you wise. They were not wise because they were wise. They became wise by recognizing their day and its message. It takes the message of your day to make you wise. You want me to prove that to you? Can you give me a few minutes to prove that? Okay, please, sir, give me a scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 4. If it's not chapter 4, it will be chapter 6. Yeah, I'm trying to get which one it is. But let's check. Let me prove to you that it takes the message of your day to make you wise. Deuteronomy chapter... Let's try chapter 4 first. If it's not 4, then it will be 6. You love him tonight. I hope I'm not taking too much of your time. I'll soon let you go. Okay, I think it is this. These words are becoming familiar. Now therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgment which I teach you. This was the messenger to the first Exodus talking about the message of that Exodus. Yeah, which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may what? Live. The power to live, it's in the message of your day. Cast not your confidence away from it. I know we are living in a time of apostasy and a lot of falling away here and there. But I tell you, those things are just coffers revival. If you study the message rapture, Brother Bram approached the study of the rapture from two angles, from the angle of Apostle Peter and that of Apostle Paul. But it started with Peter, because Peter said that day of the Lord will not come until there be a falling away first. So if you expect a rapture, expect big upsets. So whatever is happening, if somebody had preached the message for 40 years and is attacking the message today, it's nothing new. The word has already provided for that. It is only those who are prone to offense that will be stumbled by that. Brother Bram said, always realize that somebody is ordained to go that way. But don't let that be you. That ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Continue, brother. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Yes, we're going up to maybe verse 6. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor. For all the men that followed Baal Peor, the Lord thy God had destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. Amen. You still remain the last man standing. Amen. And so shall you be. Amen. Till the Lord comes. Amen. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Now watch this. Keep therefore and do what? And do them. For what? This is your wisdom. The message of that hour was their wisdom. And your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes. And the nations will say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. What makes them wise and understanding? The statutes, the commandments, the message of the hour. And that is why I challenge it, friends. No ministration, no sermon ever get better than the inspiration of the message. Oh, yes. When you that is why if you fall out of the message, you will never find satisfaction. You will perch here, you won't feel satisfied, because you've come to the climax of believing. Climax of revelation in your day. And this is why the devil will trick you back and go to the world. And your value becomes so cheap and useless. So these wise men were wise because they could recognize the star. And when they began to follow this star, where did he lead them to? He led them to the birthplace of the word, Jesus Christ. You love him. In every church age, a star always shines to help God's people the truth to find. In this last age, a star shines so bright. Friends, accept him. Walk in the light he has brought. It is God's provided way. Brother Tony Zabel, one of the closest deacons to the prophet when he was here, before he became a believer, you know, I started with a dream of Brother Lee Marion, Marion Lee. Let me close with that of Brother Tony. He said he saw a dream because he was so burdened for his soul. He wanted to serve God. He wanted to make heaven. And while he was in those thoughts, God gave him a dream. And he saw himself walk up to a man dressed in a priestly garment and said, sir, could you please show me the way to heaven? And the man said, I don't know myself. Go to the next man there. So Brother Tony said, when I looked at this man, he was my first pastor. Then the man he pointed to was my second pastor. And the man also told me, I have no idea myself. Go and meet the guy up there. Now, the guy that was up there did not wear a priest garment. He wear a piece of an overall like a factory construction worker. He doesn't look like a preacher. But Brother Tony said, when he got there, the man he saw was William Bram. He said, Brother Bram, it was you. And I ask you the same question. Can you please show me the way to heaven? I want to make it. Now, he said, instead of you, Brother Abraham, doing like the first two, pointing me to somewhere else, you held my hand and said, Tony, come, let me show you. And you started walking me through a certain path. And we kept going and going and going and going. And we got to a junction. You said, Tony, I must leave you here. And you must walk the rest by yourself. You see why the prophet is no longer here with us. And yet we must walk the rest by ourselves. Then Tony became confused. How do I move? I need you to guide me, to take me through. And he said, you told me, look down, Tony. And when he looked down, he saw bloody footprints. He said, while I was taking you all along, this was the blueprint I was following. Now you put your feet in them blueprints. And it will take you safely home. And he said, I woke up. This was what made Tony to go look for the prophet and became a believer. That is true, friends. Your message will forerun. So whether his person is here or not, the message delivered is to prepare you and I. It will work for us in the time of the squeeze. After falling away, after Scoffers Revival, another challenge is a time of pressure. This message will work for you then. And it will make you ready for the coming of the Lord. So don't cast your confidence away from it. Whatever it tells you is God's provided way. Accept the mind of God. And it will make God obligated to you throughout time and eternity. God bless you. God bless you, sir.
Well, praise the Lord. Excuse me. He gets paid a bottle of water for that sermon. Hallelujah. My, well, that ain't nothing but the truth. Amen. I'm so thankful for those shadows that are laying there to point to our day, but I'm also thankful for the light of this message that shows us these things and the gifts that God sent to take us into those things, right? As Brother Branham told us, there are some that think that we're somehow sinning by preaching these things. And because you won't find a message where Brother Branham preached it, all those things together in one spot and covered all that, right? But yet he did preach it. I mean, he's under his messenger. All of this is not his light. This is the light. But to bring those things together, that God intended for ministering gifts to be on the scene, to do what's taking place here tonight. Amen. And we're feasting on it. Amen. It's not outside of our message. It's not above our message. It's not something new, but it's brought in a way that it's spiritual food in due season. Amen. And we're feasting on it. Amen. Amen. We lack nothing, friends. The elect of God in this last age. We haven't devoured our message and now we're looking for something else. We're still feasting. The feast continues, right? And we're getting stronger. And we're coming to know him in a greater and greater measure, right? Which is what he wanted to express. I mean, the only way that these things are going to be expressed is on this side, in time, as he said this morning, right? It's just bringing him on the scene in a greater and greater and greater measure. And We're learning to lean and to trust in a greater and greater way. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. Were you blessed by that tonight? Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. Amen. Let's stand. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the arms. What a blessed peace, what a leaning on the arms. I'm learning how to lean and depend on Jesus. Oh, he's my friend. Yes, and he's my God. I'm learning how to lean and depend on Jesus. For I found out that if I trust him, he will provide. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on. Bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the arms. I'm learning how to lean and depend on Jesus. He's my friend. He's my God. I'm learning how to lean and depend on Jesus. Trust him, he will provide. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the arms, I have blessed peace with my Lord so near.